My name is Chris Weber. I work at Creative Commons and do a whole bunch of fun things, I think, generally. I'm here to talk about Blender, and there's not much time, so I'm just going to jump right into it. But it's specifically Blender for advocacy animations and why I think it's so great. Oh, so I already said some of these things. I also have a website. I'm working on something called GNU Media Goblin, which I'll talk about later. I like Blender. I make weird drawings. So Blender is a fully featured 3D suite usable for modeling, texturing, rendering, animating, compositing, video editing, most 3D things. And it even has a game engine, but you can tell I stole this from my Python version of the talk. But anyway, it's also all free software, and it's under the GPL. You can do a lot of cool things with it. I was going to show a couple of brief clips. I don't know how good of an idea this is, considering how much time we have. But this is a particularly cool one, and I hope it'll play the audio, but I'm not sure if it will. No, I don't think it is. No. Well, it's not as much fun without the audio. I'm just going to skip ahead. Anyways, it's got this cool thing. There's this thing opening up. It's got this monster breaking out of it. Oh, there it is. I'm going to skip through this in the interest of time, but one of the cool things I think about Blender is that they have these DVDs that help you be able to learn how to be able to get into things. And this is one example with Creature Factory, which basically is a tutorial by the guy who created that film, and he sped up the 40 hours that he took to make the film and shows you how to do it. So I think if you're wanting to get into Blender, the Blender Institute training DVDs are a great way to go, especially Creature Factory and Venom's Lab and stuff. Now let me jump into Blender itself by jumping into Psycho.blend. This is a little guy I created. He's somewhere on my website that I don't remember where I linked to. And I'm just going to show a few basic things about Blender because I think people tend to get overwhelmed when they first use it. So first of all, you should know that Blender is a very splittable application. You can split things, make sections for whatever types of things that it is that you need at the time. And you should really operate Blender as if you're playing a first-person shooter. You use one left hand, you leave your left hand for the keyboard and your right hand for the mouse, and this allows you to do things super quickly. In fact, I'm going to show off one thing which is pretty cool. I'm going to show off a couple things. First of all, I guess I'll get into modeling in Blender just as a quick example. Things are based off of vertices, faces, and edges and stuff like that. Don't have too much time to get into it, but here's just a quick example of me taking this guy and giving him horn. Pretty cool. If I had mirror modifier on, it would show up on the other end, but I don't. I'll reload the file. And I'll show off animation. So you can modify meshes, you can rig them up so that you can mess around with them. So this guy's all rigged up, you see he's got a skeleton. I can grab onto this thing over here and move it around, and this thing over here. And I can also go and grab onto his legs and start moving those around and stuff like that. If I want, I can even grab onto this thing and start making him look around. So animation. What is animation in Blender? Since I'm talking about animations, I should probably show you. It's actually not too complicated. The basic ideas are that you're just inserting keyframes. So let's assume I'm going to move the following things around. I'm going to move this. I'm selecting the wrong thing. And we'll grab these feet. Damn it. Keep accidentally selecting that thing, and it's making my life difficult. So I'm just going to insert these one by one. Sorry, I'm being stupid. Oh, I just used the record thing. Okay, insert location. Insert location. So now I've inserted the location of these two things. I'll move them up and actually move this forward a little bit and insert the location again. And what did I do wrong? What? That's impossible. Wow, I'm not bringing this talk off to as awesome of a start as I thought I was going to. I don't know why my animation tools are not working right, and that's because I'm in the mess. Sorry. I am going to restart this. Grab onto this. Insert it. Move it up. Switch to the timeline. Move it up again. And now it moves back and forth. Hooray! So this is the basic idea of animation, is that you end up taking some property, you end up moving forward in time or something like that, and you insert a keyframe and frame it at another point. So in this example, I'm just moving around these wings, and now he's starting to fly. I could also move around his eyes via this controller that I have here, but I seem to also still be having trouble selecting things, and in the interest of time, I'm not going to do it anymore. So bye, Psycho. Why did I just close Blender? I am not thinking during this presentation today. I'm sorry. Okay, so moving on to other things, since we still don't have much time, animations, and about advocacy animations in particular, and also the patent absurdity stuff that I worked on. So I did some animations working with the Free Software Foundation on a film called Patent Absurdity. I actually really wanted to push the idea for a while that we should be able to, try to take animation and use it as a form to help people understand things better. And this came up to be an opportunity.
Their own set of patents.
They were already working on this film, so I decided to help add some stuff to it. So here's an example of talking about kind of
like Lorzo were forced to set up patent departments for defensive reasons. They had to patent their stuff so that they had something to trade with the companies that had patents. And so the arsenal starts to develop. And by the 2000, 2001, Microsoft now holds, thousands of software patents. Oracle was probably approaching 1,000 software patents. Adobe.
And all of them have become more and more aggressive patenters, and some of the ones who were against software patents ended up suing other companies. And so what you had is an explosion of patenting first, and then an explosion of litigation.
And anyway, this seemed to go really well over with people who end up watching the film. I think that animations do a great job of being able to take something and really kind of opening up the space for it. So I'm just going to talk about some of the animations I did with the film. I did that. I also just did some really stupid graph animations, which were just kind of interspersed throughout the film while they were talking about the actual buildup of patents. At the end of the film, Richard Stallman had been talking about earlier in the film that there was this idea that what would happen if Beethoven had been if there were these musical idea patents and stuff like that, and that he probably wouldn't have been able to invent it, the stuff that he was doing. So for the finale of the film, we decided to do this. There's also this really boring timeline thing where we just kind of flip through these different types of things that they were going along. And so I'm going to walk through these different sections of these animations I did and show you basically how to reproduce them. The first one is the timeline animation, which is that one I showed. We basically had a whole bunch of, we were kind of trying to show the timeline of patent information as it was going through. What we did was we took the, we created a bunch of templates inside of Inkscape that were, and I should have been smart and opened Inkscape first, that were basically the different images that were on this timeline. So if I render here, you should see this one starting to appear into view. I'll just close it. So this is a pretty good example of how to start getting a really easy example of how an animation is done. You can see all these keyframes over here. To be able to do the timeline animation, all we really basically had to do was take an image, which is what each one of these things is. It's just a simple plane with an image mapped onto it. We had a camera, and we just moved the camera down from one item to another. And so you can see that happening here with the camera moving down if I move along the timeline. But there's also one other thing that was being animated. And I think this is one of the exciting things about Blender 2.5 is that everything is, in theory, animatable. And actually, that's what we did here with this item. I think it should be on the texture. So let's keep it open. So you can see this property right here, which says it's the alpha, which is the transparency. And so as we move between these two sections, you see the alpha moving from 0 to 1. And that's because you can just hover over a property, for example, the alpha, just insert it at some point, move to another point, and insert it at the next value that you want it at. And Blender will handle that animation for you. So that's an example of, like, a really super simple animation that we did that, well, was really stupidly simple and easy, and I think, hopefully, fairly easy to describe. The graph animation. So we extracted a bunch of stuff from Inkscape. We actually opened up, I was given a PDF full of graphs to use. I think I just opened it up in Inkscape and just started messing around with breaking up the tasks individually, which was really painful. Moved them onto separate layers and then just animated those layers moving out of place. Let me pull open the graph animation. There's a simple version of this, and then there's a scary version of this. So the first graph that we did was just actually this graph moving into slowly becomes visible. Well, this is kind of me being smart and hacky. You see the line becomes visible. I was really lazy and thought that Blender would be really easy to use for this, and it was pretty easy. But what I'm actually doing here is something semi-evil. This is actually image itself that we were making, and I was actually just what I did is I said Blender has an editing, it has a whole bunch of video editing tools and a bunch of other things like that. It also has a compositor with node editing. So in the node editor, I just ended up setting an image on the background layer. You can set an image on this like that. I'm not sure how to make it visible right now. And then I actually just set this thing, which is a plane, just actually in the compositor. Man, I'm not able to describe this at well at all. Just kind of blocks out the view as it goes through. So you can do smart thing with nodes to be able to control like the alpha of certain layers and stuff like that to be able to make something fully visible. How did I close it? And then there's the ending Beethoven animation, which is pretty much the same idea as the other talk, as the timeline thing, but just slightly more complicated. What we did was, you can see there's all these different layers here. In each one of these layers, these things, this would be a lot better if I had shader support on here, because then you could actually see the images. But the camera actually just moves along from each one of these to the next. So if we move to the camera view, you can see ourselves moving from image to image and then slowly dropping off the page. So you can see this move away, this move forward. And actually, maybe it might be a bit easier if you look at it from this perspective. Which is the planes down here and the camera up here. If I press animate, it should start going through the animation. And, oh, it's going super slow. But you should be able to see it happen. So it moves along taking a long time. You should see one of these planes basically drop and move down. And so that's all we were doing, was actually just moving a bunch of planes around with images mapped onto them and controlling their transparency as to whether or not they came into view. And that's all there was to it. But these are kind of boring, actually. The thing that everybody wants to know about is the War Games animation. I showed the other ones first to show just basic simple animation properties. But here's, I think, what everybody wants to see. This was actually kind of completely evil. So we have the image on the background, which was done with Inkscape, and we have this moving along. You can see in this example here, I really should have split these out better before I started doing this, but you can see this line basically grow. Now the problem was is that when we ended up actually doing this animation, there was about like 10 million different lines actually coming in at one time. And the way that we ended up controlling the visibility of this line here is something that I learned from my friend Bassam, which is you actually use a curve to control the thickness of another curve. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get to that in time. So the interesting thing is that we actually use the Python API to control each one of these curves. You can actually select a curve, and you can put particular properties on objects. So I would actually just add a custom property to each one of these curves that I was working on, saying what the end frame was, what the start frame was, and everything like that, and just use the Python API to enable transforming it into a curve. So this is what, so I wrote a Python script called Nukeify Curve. What Python scripting actually looks like in Blender is something like this. If you want to add a monkey, for example, you can go to add mesh monkey. Now you've got a monkey. If you want to do that via script, you can actually just go to the info box, add a monkey, and it will actually say over here the Python equivalent for adding that monkey, and also screw up my rendering in the process of trying to copy it. That's a stupid Intel bug that keeps annoying me. But now I can reproduce that by doing bpy.ops.mesh.primitive-monkey. Add. Mesh should add a second monkey right here. So what I did actually to be able to create all these curves is I just figured out the procedure for adding each one of them by hand, which was I added a curve that would and then I would add another curve that controlled the thickness of that curve. I knew that I wanted an explosion at the end, and so it actually just the properties of the radius of the explosion. I would set a template for the curve that controlled the other curve, and then and I would just move that along. And so the script would actually just take the properties as they are on there and make them all visible. Is that 10 minutes? Oh, man, okay. So, Creative Commons Animation Films. This is one thing I wanted to show real quickly. I guess, I think that there's an opportunity to actually really be able to show and get people excited about ideas by actually moving through. This is an animation that actually got me fairly excited about Creative Commons while I was in college, even, and now I'm working for it. But the ideas of it, just making it really clear, I think that And I've been really stumbling through this entire talk, and I have no idea why when I gave such an awesome presentation last night at the Python user group. But what I'm trying to drive home is that there's a space that's open when you end up having animations and having things like this. We have some ideas like the free software. The free software definition has been around for over 20 years, but almost nobody is able to understand what the free software definition is unless if they're deeply ingrained in free software. Could we end up getting the general ideas of stuff like the free software definition out to people by having some sort of more abstracted explanation of it? I think so, and I'd really like to see this type of stuff done. But I have pretty much completely run out of time, so if you have any questions, I'd love to answer them.
Questions, anyone?
I am still having trouble understanding that curve controlling another curve thing. So
the what?
Like in the animation with the patent warfare one, you said like you had one curve and then you had another curve.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't sure how well much to get into this because I think it tends to really confuse everyone, including myself. So let's see if I can find the layer that this is on. So here it is. You'll see as I move throughout time here that this, not that one, this one and this one. Nope. There it is. So you'll see as I move throughout time, there's this curve and this curve that are moving about. This curve, as this one moves along, it's actually extending the other one. And the way that this works, I can remove this empty here real quick. And these points will actually just control the entire width of the curve. So you can do really clever and evil things, like subdivide. And you can see this part of the curve is getting really thick at that edge. It might be more obvious if I make it like that. So the evil thing that I actually did to just control the visibility of the curve was I just set up I set up this curve to control the other curve, and I actually just set it basically between 1 and 0 at the point at which I actually wanted it to be visible, and I set up a hook between those other two points, which was the empty that you saw in the middle. And that's this thing. So as I move this back and forth, it moves those other two points. So this thing is controlling the two vertices in the middle. And so the animation is actually just moving things from this point to this point. So it's a clever, evil machine to be able to control the visibility of the curve. I actually just animated, basically, my script would insert this thing here, and then it would insert this thing here, and then back and forth on the timeline, it would just move it. And to be able to create the bombs, I would just insert a sphere at that point and just move it up and stuff like that. So
you may want to play with this on the other machines on the site. Blender's been installed there. I'm trying to get more users on those Blenders. Any other questions?
Yeah, that little guy with the wings at the beginning. If you have not already, would you be willing to upload him to OGA? Because I'm sure he would go great in some games.
He's actually been on my task list to upload to Open Game Art. If you don't know what Open Game Art is, Bart runs a wonderful site for game stuff. I think he's talking on a panel. But anyway, yeah, I'd be willing to upload it, and I really should.
Awesome.
And I will soon. Yep.
Well, one follow-up. Do you have a general tutorial anywhere about how you made him?
I don't have a tutorial. I can make one, but really it's just kind of box modeling like this, where you split things till you start making the shape. And then I might, like, take this vertice here, extract, or extrude, move it in, extrude it here, and now we have kind of an eye hole on this side of the face and stuff like that. So really just box modeling, basically an edge modeling, where I just take kind of a general shape and I just keep splitting it down and adjusting the properties until I get to that point. But I think there's a much better example of how to do this kind of modeling than I can have, and that's to watch the Creature Factory DVDs or the Venom's Lab DVDs that the Blender Institute puts out, because they're Creative Commons licensed, and you could actually watch them without having to pay for them. But they do a really good job of explaining like basic modeling techniques and stuff like that. So
cool. Thank you. I'm curious, what was the production process for the animations in the movie? Did you collaborate with people? Did you have a graphic designer? Or
the director of the film, Luca Litani, basically would, we talked about the type of animations that we wanted from the beginning, and originally they were originally just the graph and the other one, and then they decided they wanted the War Games one, and then a couple days before we released the thing, they decided they wanted a finale to the film and wanted the Beethoven thing. But actually that was kind of fun because I was given a lot of control on to how to do the nuke scene basically. They just told me do basically whatever you need. As in terms of the timeline animation, I was given a file that the Free Software Foundation worked with one of their like patent expert people, and he basically gave me a history that I should convey through the file. And I just opened it up in Inkscape, made a bunch of templates, put them in that file, and animated it. And with the Beethoven thing, actually, the director's friend, I think, made a MIDI file, didn't actually give me the MIDI file to play with. Then they gave me a bunch of SVG files that I could open up in Inkscape that had all the notes and everything like that. They broke it up into image layers for me, and they told me, make this disappear at this point, and this point, and this point. Because I don't know crap about music. So I was just able to animate stuff to, I was just able to look at the timings that they had written in that file and basically just do that. But my favorite part of the film was still the nuke thing anyway, and that was like, just, hey, we really need this cool nuke display thing, and I just figured that shit out. So, yeah.
Thank you. Right.